Welcome back to the City of Palms podcast. Thank you for watching, viewing, and subscribing.
Episode 85.
85.
Eddie Rock, how you doing, bro?
What's up? Doing good, man. How you guys doing? Looking good.
I'm chilling. We're getting by. How's your day today?
Man, you know, living life as a musician, engineer. Always a good day, man. I still think it's a bad day with us.
Heck yeah. Did you have that session earlier at the facility?
I did, yeah. It was okay. It was pretty solid. Not too bad.
Another day on the job. How long have you been over there at the facility?
I've been working there for like 3 years now. What was it, 2021? Yeah, about 3 years. Crazy. Almost 3 years to the day now, think about it. I got filled in one session for promo and just never stopped.
Sick.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. That's dope.
So how was that? How was the feeling of filling that in? Because before that, I'm guessing you were just a producer doing your own thing.
Yeah, well, you know, like everybody else, bedroom stuff, you know, just kind of like taking in little sessions here and there with the homies and stuff. But pretty much, it wasn't a situation where I applied or anything. I was always there. I was doing like crazy stuff where I would be working like a graveyard shift at one job, you know, it was like I think 2 to like 10:30. Then I would like fly to the studio and like shower Cappy for like another 3 hours and then like knock out. I kept doing that after a while. And then one day I was there with my guy Chris Daniels and we were working on like a song or something. And Cappy just kind of like touched me on the shoulder and like, bro, can't come to the session, can you come in? And I was like, yeah, it was like a quick 2 hour session. I remember the session, I was bad. Oh, and it felt great. I was like, yo, this is what I want to do. And then from there, I just kept filling in until it became like an in-house engineer over there.
Damn, nice.
Yeah, pretty nice.
That's dope.
What all did he have you do that day? Was it all stuff you were pretty familiar with, but like still needed to work on? Or was there stuff you had no idea?
Well, yeah, so when you're working from home in like a very like amateur like state, there's a lot of workarounds to professional studio environment. So like, I would find it in the tempo of a song on virtual DJ at the home, you know what I mean? So like, I'd be at the crib, somebody brings a song, I pop it into a different program, I have like two computers, doing like basic stuff. And over there, there was no virtual DJ. So I'm looking at the artist and they're looking back at me and it's just like, yo. You know, a lot of it was like fake it till you make it. And I realized that without having like a formal education, it was gonna be a tougher road, but it was a better road for me. So yeah, it was a lot of stuff that I should have known, I just didn't know. That's really what it was. Not so much things that I wasn't aware of, just things I ain't that big.
Yeah.
You said you don't have a formal education with music?
I don't believe in that.
Dang.
I don't believe in that.
Do you have what was your high school like? Like, where'd you go to high school, right?
So I'm from Miami. I'm not from out here.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So I mean, over there, once again, I was the only kid I knew that was really making music. You know, people were coming over to the house. We were making music in my kitchen, right? Because like the kitchen, like the dining area, that's where my computer was next to the fridge. And yeah, man, you know, just like cranking out songs like that. So yeah, I mean, my high school stuff, I would always be making music, but it was nothing like, here's how you EQ. Nah, nobody taught me anything like mm-hmm. that.
So did you start producing first or making music on your, like writing music?
Yeah, so I only engineer because I'm an artist. And like growing up, I was just like, nobody's going to pay for this session for me. Nobody's going to like do it for me. So I just had to learn. I was going on YouTube all the time. I had one friend who was just a little bit better than me. He showed me everything he knew. And I was like, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take like that.
Damn.
That was all in high school when that was happening?
Yeah, a lot of that was in high school. Yeah, I didn't really figure things out until when I moved here, really. And that's I moved here about 2016, so whatever, how long, 5 years ago. I just, once again, in not the dorms, but like the apartments by GCU, just cranking songs with people from school every day until things just started clicking.
Damn, sick. Nice.
What made you choose this area?
So Dunk City, I saw that stuff happening in high school, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know about Fort Myers at all. Like, I knew about Naples, I had no ideas about Fort Myers. So I saw that, I applied to school over there. I think I only applied to FGCU and FAU. I got accepted to FGCU quick. I was like, oh, that's the school I'm going to. And then for some reason, I ended up not coming in 2013 when I like graduated high school. And I came in 2016 just because it was just like, I said I was going to go to school there. I'm going to go to school there. Like, that was the end goal at all times. But that's pretty much what brought me here.
Heck yeah. Nice. What was your major going to school there?
Journalism.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you finish the degree?
Yeah. I was working at Wake News.
What?
Yeah. I was doing that degree. I was working for Curate, doing like the Curate interviews and Curate podcast stuff, and working at Wake News.
What?
Yeah.
Sick.
Damn. So when did you quit Wake News?
Two months ago.
Damn. And then you started full time at the facility.
No, I was full time at the facility already.
Already.
I was just doing both.
Oh fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was Wake News like?
I look kind of trash though. I mean, I was working like graveyard shifts. So I was doing like 2 a.m. to 10:30, 2 a.m. to 12:30, like running those kind of shifts. And it wasn't like what I liked with Curate and just music journalism, right? Like. Prior to that, I had interviewed Dom, so I did like a Dom Fire interview. I had done like a lot of like music reviews and like album reviews and stuff. And then working there, it was like, this child just got shot. And I was like, whoa, I did not come for this. So, yeah.
Damn.
But I wasn't really into like the hard hitting news and like the, you know, sexual assault, kidnapping, like here's what your city officials are doing behind your back. I'm not really into that.
Yeah.
Like, as a citizen, I like it, but like, that's not what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably depressing, probably working as
well. Well, that's the thing. So it gets scarier than that. Working in news, it's not when things depress you, it's when things stop depressing you. When you become so desensitized that like, that type of trauma is content. Everybody walks in, we are covering the worst day of somebody's life, we say, damn, that sucks, and then the next day, we don't care.
Dang.
Right, we're on to, and yeah, and when that becomes your job, and it's just like people die, people get shot, people get robbed, people's houses burn down, and you're just like, sucks to suck. I need to do this for work. It tears away at a part of you that you want to keep as a person.
Yeah,
like, really sympathizing.
Damn,
that's real.
So, were you working on the journalism for Curate and Wink both at the same time while you were in FGCU?
Yeah, but not for long. So, I worked at Wink after I graduated FGCU. I worked at Curate while I was still there. And there was like a little interlap. There was like an overlap at one point where it was FGCU, not FGCU, but it was Wink, Curate, and Facility at the same time for like a month. And
oh man, creative flow.
Yeah. That was bad. But nah, most of those things don't overlap too much.
Did you meet Malik and them at FGCU?
Yeah, so I was at FGCU and I went with Chris Daniels. He had a release party for like an EP he did. And we went, and I loved it. It was like one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. Like, for somebody who's not like a full-fledged artist, that man can put on a show. He just like a natural born entertainer. So we pulled up, and I was like, yo, I gotta check out this EP. So I checked out the EP, and I wrote a review because I was the entertainment editor at FGCU.
Sick.
So I wrote a review, and then he gets back to Malik, and he's like, yo, meet up. Let's talk about doing some Curate stuff. And then we linked up, and then that's kind of how that kind of formed.
Sick.
Yeah.
Does FGCU cover a lot of like local music releases and stuff like that? I haven't really like looked at the news a lot.
It did when I did. So like, as the editor of the entertainment section, I am heavily partial to music. So I didn't give a fuck about movies, I didn't give a fuck about acting, fashion, any of that shit. I was like, yo, we're doing album reviews for local artists every week.
Yes. Because it's sometimes just like Toy Story 5 came out.
Yeah,
watch it.
Not with me. Nah, more like Sly just dropped an EP.
Dominic Fike got signed.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, those are my stories. My stories are all local albums and stuff because the music was here and I knew it. It was 2017. And I called it. I was like, yo, the artists here are fire. And it was kind of one of those things where people were slow to it.
Yep.
Or they thought it was okay, but because it didn't have the kind of clout that, like, you know, Don brought or Busy brought or Cappy brought, it was just like, oh, I mean, they're good, but, like, it's good for here. Like, no, it's good for, you know? And so that was kind of my thing was I always believed you could go a whole day listening to local music and you could have a good music listening day. I truly believe that.
That's real. Yeah. Dude, that's cool that you were doing that for the community.
Yeah,
that's big.
Yeah,
that's huge. When did you do the interview with Dom? Was that before his signing or after, or like right around that whole craziness?
It was before. That was the day I met him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's how I met him.
What was that like?
It was cool, man. He's a cool guy.
He is.
Pretty much, I think I hit him up on like Twitter or something. At that point, I already knew Nate Traveler. And I went over to where he was at, and we kind of just like talked for a bit. I still have the interview. I listen to it like once every like 3 months. I'm never gonna release it, but it was just cool. It was like super enlightening. And one of those things that like gives me chills when I listen to it now.
I bet.
Hearing some of the things that we talked about and not knowing what was coming down, you know? I think that same day I also met Brendan Bennett. I met Dominic Salem, fire guitarist. I met Phil. I don't know if you guys know Phil. A lot of the people whose music I respected before and I still respect to this day. It was a crazy day. One of the best interviews I've ever done.
That's dope, dude.
That was a big day. Damn.
Yeah.
I think the first time I heard you was on, I think it was when, on a Brendan Bennett track. I heard you as a feature.
Nice,
and,
nice.
And that was right when I was like kind of learning about music around here and, and realizing that this is radio quality good. You know what I mean? What does it feel like to be a part of that? Because I feel like now working at the facility and being a part of the journalistic, like, historian aspect of it, like, a lot of things are happening around here and there's really talented people. And being someone who can help them produce that music professionally or at that level, what does that feel like?
It's a little surreal. Like, first and foremost, I met everybody, like you said, as an artist. And to this day, that's still how I link with most people. So it's cool because I know what the potential for this place is and I know what it's currently achieving. There are things happening that people don't know about that, like, I don't know if this comes out in like 3 weeks, everybody's gonna be like, oh my God, something crazy just happened. I can't tell you what. but like, I just know about like everything that's happening behind the scenes. And so to contribute to it, it's really cool because it's the foundations of what, this place is considered by like A&Rs to be like a music hub, right? Like, I've talked to like A&Rs and managers and other people like that are kind of like talking to me about like my own music and be like, you know, how is it that like, there's so many artists that are getting picked up from this one area. Like, that's Atlanta for rap, but for this alternative kind of like quasi-pop sound that you guys got going on, this is like a hub, and there's a whole bunch of fire artists. So to add to it is a big responsibility, right? There's not too many people who can help.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the scariest feelings is knowing that there's artists that are highly capable of making great music, and they feel like, I can't do it here. I have to go to Miami, I have to go to Tampa, I have to go somewhere else. So when they walk into the studio or when I interview somebody or when I do a song with somebody, it's just like, there's a lot of weight to prove that everything you need is here.
Mm.
Right? You know, I can't let you feel like this place isn't good enough, because it is. It's been in the past and it is now and it's going to continue to be. If I can like do anything about it, this place is going to be a player.
Oh yeah.
Like, that's the goal.
Hell yeah, dude. That's dope, dude. And it must feel good. Like you were saying, it must feel great. Yeah.
Because the facility is a huge part of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the big things
that
have happened around here already, that's kind of the origin of some of it.
Yeah, no, it is. Like, if somebody's doing something of note, 9 times out of 10, they're working at the facility. There's, like, very few artists. Like, Juzlo's, like, one of the only people I'm just like, yo, where does this kid record at?
Like,
you know what I mean? Like, but aside from him, that's about it. Like, everybody else that's doing like something huge, well, there are like a couple more. But like anybody else is doing anything like, oh my God, they're pulling up, right? They have a folder at the spot. You know, I can open your folder and show you, yo, this artist that everybody likes, this is where their songs are located, right here, you know?
Yep, yeah, when we interview artists, the facility is always the place where it's like, yo, we got this big thing, we're going to the facility here, it's gonna be there.
As it should, they know what's up.
Yep, they know what's up.
Yeah. To rewind a little bit, where did things start with you creating music of your own, like just in your life? What were some of like the things in your childhood that made you musically inclined? Did you sing or anything?
Nah. I mean, I'm like a bars guy. Like, when I listen to ID, like, you got the ID on Minus shirt on, that's me all day. I was like Isaiah Rashad, you know, like Black Hippie and TDE, like, that's me. Like, that singing stuff is a lot more, it's more recent in my musical journey. So, I mean, I was doing the bar stuff, but it came from where I think all creatives come from. Like, a kid that feels mad misunderstood, and it's just, like, super introspective, you know what I mean? I thought I was kind of funny, but, like, I wasn't, like, cool, you know what I mean? Nothing like that. And I knew that when I made songs, number one, I was at a school that won, like, 3 straight basketball state championships. I was not going to stand out playing basketball, and I like basketball. So I was like, nah, I need a different route. I got to start my brand somewhere. So I started making music. All the basketball players would come to the house All Best My Players were rap. Every Best My Player was rap. So I was like, bet. So that kind of like helped me, like, you know, socially, like, get by. And then I also knew that when I made a song, I could say whatever I wanted, like, personal life-wise or whatever, and nobody would think twice. I could get, like, crazy stuff off my chest. And if you like it, you just like the song. But you never really tie it back to, like, the person. You know, you always internalize the songs you like. And so, yeah, I was just using it as, like, a little diary instead of going on Facebook and saying everything. I didn't put it in a song.
Yeah, I feel like writing, like, especially when you do it extensively, you can learn a lot about yourself, you know? Yeah. Just, like, what's going on in there.
Even more so, as a listener, a lot of my favorite artists, when I hear their songs, it's a strange, like, cry for help that, like, people don't acknowledge, right?
Yeah.
Like, we don't ever think about, like, the weird things, like, people say. Like, people say some really sad stuff in really good songs. Mm-hmm. And we eat that stuff up. We like, abuse, like, people's emotions. Like, I'm just, like, thinking of songs. And, like, there's some of those people are local, so I don't want to, like, say their names. But, yeah, people will say stuff in a song, like, really, like, bare their soul. And those would be their best types of songs. And it's just, like, what do you do when you know that your art comes from a place of pain? And it's like, people want more of your art. So in a weird way, they almost want more pain from you, because that's like your inspiration. You know, like, it's a weird thing. It's a strange thing. But it's like, we love it. We eat it up. We love heartbreak songs. Rod Wave is huge, because like, we don't care that Rod Wave gets his heart broken. Like, give me more heartbreak. You know, we want a sad Rod Wave. We do. It's
for
a
real.
Strange dynamic. It's a that strange is. Thing.
Dude, on that note, I haven't brought this topic up on the podcast in a while, but on that note, how do you feel about Logic as a hip-hop artist?
Love him.
And everything he's gone through and,
I love Logic.
I do, too.
Yeah, I think he's fire. He gets unnecessary hate. Yeah. I don't understand it.
How do you feel about him, like, retiring and all that? Have you heard interviews post his retirement? Kind of, like, how he's been talking about it all?
Nah, to be honest with you, I don't watch too much artist interviews. But put me on game. What's he been saying?
He's been, like... he seems very happy. I will say that. It does seem like stepping back from just like all the pressure and stuff. Mm-hmm. But he's like, one thing that it made me wonder, like, what really is going on in his head? Because he was kind of talking like he regrets going more of like the pop, like, hit records type, like, vibe that he was going for a while. But I see why he did that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
As an artist, like, how he evolved and adapted, and like, some of those songs were like not super hip hop or like core or whatever. They were kind of cheesy.
Like, what, like Flexicution?
Yeah, like that whole era of like Hallelujah and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Some people didn't like how he switched it up.
I mean, see, those are tough, right? So in pop, or like even that form of like hip hop that is pop. At the end of the day, I truly believe all artists want a lot of people listening to music. Nobody wants to be like the cult following guy. Because it's just like, oh, have you heard of insert artist name? And people are like, no, who's that? Nobody wants to be no, who's that. Everybody wants to be, yes, I've heard of Drake. Everybody wants to be, yes, I've heard of Billie Eilish. Even if you don't listen to Billie Eilish's music, you want to be like a figure that people know your name. And that's like the thing with pop, where it's just like, it's the dark side of making music to a lot of people, but it's like... pop pays the bills for everybody, right? Music does not exist without pop, and so, like, anybody regrets it, but, I mean, Logic, right? You gotta do it.
And, like, as you really listen to it, like, he's got, like, such talent through all his little changes, in my personal opinion. I loved all the evolutions.
Yeah, Buried Alive is, like, one of my favorite albums, bro. Freaking
dude.
Nuts.
And when you really listen to some of his raps, like, I feel like some people, like you said, he's a little underrated in that regard because of, like, however they feel about his, like, always talking about being biracial or his cheesiness or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you can't diminish the fact that the dude is a great writer. You know what I mean?
He is. Nah, it's...
That's why I kind of like that he's moved on to just, like, doing his own thing, having fun, playing video games, whatever. Because he knows that he's like, I can fucking rap. I did that thing.
But I miss having that figure in, like, hip-hop because, to me, like, guys like Logic push the culture forward, which is funny because people feel like Logic, like, bites, like, Kendrick and J. Cole. Right, like, I hear that a lot, where it's just like, Buried Alive was like, Good Kid, Mad City, but like fake, and I was like, no, it's not, right? Whatever. But like, him like playing video games on stage is like the coolest thing in the world to me. Like, for a show, if I got to see my favorite artist gaming, that's my ticket. I got my money's worth.
Right?
Like, I enjoyed that, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, he's dope. I don't know, yeah, that's strange.
Yeah, he's always just been himself. Then that's one thing I've respected too. And like, call it cheesy or whatever for like crying on stage or whatever he was doing. But like, he's going through some stuff. You know what I mean?
Fire. Yeah, give me more of that. No, that's dope. Stop with Logic hate. I'm not here for it.
For real, dude.
Yeah, Logic does get unnecessary hate.
So much.
Yeah.
So much. Don't get it.
Let's take a quick break. Isn't he a gamer now?
Yeah, I think
he's a Twitch gamer.
Yeah, dude, he got signed to Twitch. He's like doing big money Twitch stuff.
Albums, though. Logic albums are fucking fire.
Yeah, dude. Did you heard his last one? No Pressure is what it was called.
No Pressure, the one with J. Cole at the end?
No. Okay, so dude, if you haven't listened to it, you have to. Yeah. No Pressure is the name of his last album that he dropped. He dropped it right when Dom dropped. Yeah. Same day, I think. But yeah, it was his last album, and he called it No Pressure because Under Pressure was his like debut, yeah. And then this is him kind of passing it on and whatever. And he just did whatever he wanted, and it was cool. It was like almost like him going back to his roots of like the YouTube videos where he would like just be spitting and stuff. And he just plays around with it, and it's a great album. If you haven't heard it, I highly recommend it.
For sure.
But we should reset the cameras, so we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back for part two. Enjoy the ad. Have you heard of the Needle Drop, what's his name, Anthony Fantano on YouTube?
Man, he fucking ripped on, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Ripped on,
it
bro.
Seems like every, like, album.
Was that guy you showed?
Yes, oh, yes, because he hates on Logic so heavy.
And he then, does!
Yep, yes, yep. Does, and then does, some of it's justified because the dude's, like, really smart with music and stuff. Yeah, like, technical reviews, but it's, like, albums I love.
He reviews it, like, shit. I'm not, like, Vampire anymore. And I tried, I was like, nah, I'm not gonna let you do that. But like that song Vampire, I was like, fuck, bro. He said it was like, what was it? What song did he compare it to? Not a Mariah Carey song. It's some fucking crazy shit. I don't know if you remember. Like, he was talking about like the song Vampire, what could possibly go wrong. He's just like, I don't know.
He did. He bugged out on that.
Yeah, bro. I'm partial to that album, bro. I recorded some of the vocals on it. I recorded on what's his face? What song? Chicken Tenders.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Sick.
Fucking nuts, yeah.
I wonder sometimes how far back some of those tracks go.
It wasn't that long ago.
Really?
Yeah, he can't.
But does he just kick it like at the facility when he's visiting?
Sometimes.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah,
pretty nuts.
Has his like energy changed at all since like?
He's different. Yeah, it's definitely different for sure. Like,
I haven't seen him. I saw him in high school, and he was a dope dude.
Yeah,
but...
He's a lot more stoic now, but it's a whirlwind. Like. Yeah, I don't know, because that shit is fucking nuts, and I think it would happen to anybody, but the, like, roller coaster ride that was his, like, life was fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking crazy. I don't know. I can't imagine. You're not supposed to be the same with that level of success. You're not supposed to be the same. You're not supposed to be the same person.
And imagine, like, after performing for, like, some like a giant crowd at like Flognow or whatever, like coming back. It's like what Kyle was saying at the skate park. We skated in this giant skate park, and he's like, "Bro, you're gonna go to Veterans now and like just fly off the ramps because it's so little." It'd be the same kind of vibe where it's like, "Bro, the environments he's been around, you know what
yeah.
I mean?"
Yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
He's conditioned.
Like, yeah. Nuts.
Did you ever listen to any of his old music, like that they've taken down throughout the?
Yeah, I listen all the time. I pirate shit like everybody else.
There's one song, I don't know if you've ever heard, it's called Divine Intervention. It's with him and Matt Black.
Danny's been trying to get his hands on that song to listen to it, bro.
Yeah, I'll pay top dollar for that song. Yeah, for real though, it's a great song, dude. And yeah, it's like it got taken down, you know, whenever he popped off and stuff. But yeah, it was like a SoundCloud song that he had on with Matt Black way back in the day.
Mm.
Super dope.
Super dope. Matt has it.
Yeah, I gotta talk to him.
Yeah.
Shout out. Hit me up, Matt.
Is there any tracks you've been a part of coming out of the facility that you're super proud of? Like, any songs, even if, whether they did well in, like, whatever things that you thought were, like, gems that came out of there?
Whole bunch.
What are, like, three off the top of your head?
Three off the top?
In no particular order, of course.
Chicken Tenders, because that's just fucking nuts.
That sounds sick.
Yeah. Chicken Tenders, 3 a.m. in Chicago, it's a song that I did with Brendan. It was like the first time I ever hit a million, so I was like, whoa.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's just almost at like 2 million.
It's a great song.
Yeah, super good. And then, this one's not out, but I think it's going to come out sometime this year. There's this guy named Matt Hunter. he pulls up to the studio one day, like Cappy hits me up to record it, or like do some like vocal recording on it at least. And at the end of the session, I was like, yo, this kid Matt, he's like super cool. I knew he was signed, whatever, he's like a Latin artist. It's like, yo, Matt's like really cool. He's like an amazing vocalist. And like anytime you say, yo, Matt, that was a great tape, he's just like, oh, thank you, right? I'm like, wow, he's so humble for somebody that's so good. And they're like, yeah, you know, Matt comes from money. And I was like, what does that mean? And they're like, he was Diego from Go Diego Go.
No yeah.
Way. And I was no like, way. What? Like, Diego smokes weed? I was like, nah, that's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't remember the name of that song. Skeletons by Brendan and Nate. Man, I wish I would have got my hands on that JoJo Post song by Paulo Fresh, but I didn't get a chance to get to that. There's a Busy Crook and Nate Traveler song. I recorded some Nate's vocals on that.
Damn.
Yeah.
If I Jump? Is
yeah.
That the song?
Yeah.
Love
yeah,
that
yeah.
song.
Yeah, that way Nate can sing, man.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
That was another one of those songs that, like, the first time I heard it, I was like, that's from here?
Yeah.
That?
Yeah.
And then the
yeah.
whole album, I'm like, are you kidding
yeah.
me?
Yeah, yeah. All my stuff being like, Yeah, that's probably the main ones right there.
Man, that's gotta be a dream job. How does that affect your own music? Like, even aside from, like, if of course, doing features on songs impacts your music, but if you're just working on something for someone,
mm-hmm.
how does that affect your music, creativity, and flow?
So that's how I get better. So I don't, like, do vocal training or anything like that. Like, engineering makes me a better artist because pretty much I'm getting a whole bunch of people all the time that are different, like, vocal styles, different production styles, different approaches to music, different approaches just to working, like, how they work. And it makes me have to be very flexible with how I approach music.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, if all you do is work on your own stuff, you're like, I work this way. I get up, I go, I write, da 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 da. And so me, I'll like work a million different ways. I'll write a song while taking a shower because I'm just like, I don't have time. Or on the flip side, I'll be at the studio, like sitting on the floor in the booth, writing songs, like, you know, like yelling up to the microphone, coming up with lyrics like that, right? You know, like I'll try different effects that I wouldn't have thought of for myself, but while like doing effects for somebody else, I'm like, whoa, this is cool. A little mental note, all right, this is how you do that, right? And I've just learned, like you were talking about Naruto earlier, it's like almost like building like a Sharingan for like styles. Right?
Yeah.
I see somebody do it, and like, for example, say I'm recording like Nate or somebody, and I'll see him do like a cool like run. I'm hearing him do this take a whole bunch of times, and I'm just like, oh, that's how you do it. And now I know how to do that.
What? That's got to be crazy.
Yeah. And so it's like I can develop different styles off of just hearing people do like a million takes. Or like all my stuff is super polished because I get a lot of reps with my own voice and with other people's voices. So yeah, it's not.
You're putting in the 10,000 hours for sure.
Yeah, way past that. But yeah. So it helps me a lot, like staying creative and like being like versatile.
Nice. What's your typical like day-to-day like throughout the week with your workflow?
It's a crazy schedule. One day like I'll work 3 hours, one day I'll work 12. But I'm always at the studio, like every day. I just pull up just to practice. Like, I do like a lot of like training because once again I didn't go to school. So I have like set my own curriculum for how I learn because I know that I can know more. And because I didn't go to school and like nobody told me, you know enough about this topic, here's your A or B, I'm always like chasing more knowledge. So my day kind of is like wake up, head to the studio, and then like spend an hour listening to music there, an hour like developing a new skill, and then the remaining time like just working on other people's songs.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah, constantly training.
So have you, like in producing, is there anything you've learned, like piano or anything, like because of producing?
A little bit. Like, I don't play, but I understand a lot more music theory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I would go on the piano and learn basic chord structures and chord progressions. And then when somebody brings in a song, I don't make beats, but I'll, like, flip the hell out of your beat. Or I can be like, yo, we can come up with these harmonies.
that like are just basic like piano concepts that like I'll play basics on something to understand it, break it down, and then recreate it with voice, like voices.
Damn. Yeah. That's cool. So at the facility, are you like an engineer? Mm-hmm. What they call an engineer?
Yeah.
Damn. Dope, dude. Fuck. That's sick.
And you're able to do that full time? Do you have to juggle any sort of like side hustle or day job or anything like that?
Nah, I was doing that for like 3 years until the point where I was just like, I don't do that anymore.
Was that transition like, was it a pretty sure like it just makes sense sort of thing, or was it like, was there any like stress on that decision?
I mean, so you imagine you're working night shift for 3 years doing like crazy hard new stuff and then working at a studio. You see your dream job for like 3 hours in the day and you're working at like your hell, like nightmare for 8 or 10 and a half hours a day.
Yeah.
And it like does something to you where like you feel like you can't go back, right? Like you've seen the promised land and you chase the fuck out of it, right? Because you know what's waiting for you. If I like slip up for a second, I know what I'm going back to. I know what my life is. So yeah, I did it for as long as I could. And I'm hungry as fuck. Like, I can't go back. I can't. So I would never juggle another job like that again. I just have to, like, music has to work. And I know what it takes. Put the work in. So it works. So let's do it.
Yeah.
And I feel like everyone needs that. Like, I feel like everyone needs to at least try to, like, do that transition. Try to take some jump, you know, risky decision. And, like, right. You know, if you see something that feels like that's what you need to be doing, like, it's so scary sometimes to turn onto that path or, like, to take that jump. But if you never do, that'd be like, you know what I mean? You could just, if you just get in the comfortability or you get so used to that comfort, you know,
right.
That you're just like, well, this is a guaranteed paycheck every week. And, right. You know, if something goes wrong, if, and just taking that jump, you never go back.
I mean, it comes with pros and cons. The guaranteed money, it's pretty much, right? Like it is.
Drive you insane though.
Yeah, no, oh my God. Making your money off of art is very fickle. In a bad economy, the first thing people are going to do is stop making music, right? Because it's just like, it's a hobby for a lot of people. But that's my job. I can't afford for people to stop making music, so I got to deliver, like, crack. It has to be mad addicted, like, pulling into the facility and working. But I get being scared of not making the leap, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
That shit is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
What if you fail at your dream? Like, Brendan Bennett's working on an album, and, like, all over the album, there's, like, the question of, like, what do you do when your dreams die? If you make the leap and it doesn't work, your dreams are dead. That's just scary. It's not even just like you're broke. It's like, damn, I'm a regular person for the rest of my life.
Dang, yeah, I don't think about it like that sometimes.
No, it's terrifying. It's like, I'd rather think that I could be great and I just didn't have the opportunity than have the opportunity and know I can't be great.
Damn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's fuel to the fire, you know, because if you do, because I think about it where it's like, well, if it doesn't work, then I could get a serving job anywhere. Like, I got right. experience. But if that happens,
right.
That's going to be my brain forever. I tried and I failed. Right. You know what I mean?
But that just makes you try harder.
Yeah, because you don't want to fail.
Like, you know, like when you play sports, like football or something, and they tell you like to leave it all on the field. And the idea is that at the end of the game, you should not have energy. You should be dead because you put your all into that game. So it's kind of the same with chasing your dream, where it's like, if it doesn't work, there's a level where you're just like, hey, man, I tried. Like, I really, 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 really tried. Not like I slept in a little bit more today. Like, I woke up early, I stayed up late, and I gave it my all. And I believe that even if you can't reach the highest heights, you can make a fucking living, right?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I'd rather make a living doing some shit I like. No, I'd like to be rich and do some shit I wouldn't like. But, I mean, if I'm not going to be rich, I'm not going to do some shit I wouldn't like. That's the point. If I'm not going to be rich, I'm not doing some shit I wouldn't like.
Yeah, dude.
That's it. Yeah, you could, yeah. Yep.
One thing we do ask people is, because me and Danny always talk about this winning streak and stuff and, like, just trying to treat life as like, opportunities to grow and improve and whatever and reach your eventual goals. If everything in your plan goes according to plan and your, you know, your seeds come to fruition, what do you think your life would look like in 5 years? What do you want it to look like, rather?
Shit.
And it's hard to, like, dwell on, but, like, even just to touch on the thought, you know what I mean?
You're good. It's weird because I'm having a mix where I love where my life is now. This is what I wanted when I was a kid, right? I sat there and I thought about it. Like, as I reach for more, I wanted to just make music. I can, like, work on music and I don't worry about my bills being paid. That was my goal. I did that. So now I need a new goal. And what the new goal is, I mean, you know, everybody wants a Grammy, it's a platinum plaque, all that shit. I want that. I'm going to get it. But, yeah, 5 years. Five years, I'm going to touch a Grammy. We're looking at 2 or 3 platinum plaques minimum. And just working at the, like, highest level, at the upper echelon, where I walk in the room, I'm the guy. You know, not like working with the guy. I'm the guy. The room, yeah, nobody in the room is telling I'm in the room. That's the goal for 5 years, right? Yeah, to be the guy, to be the man, to be the fucking man.
Yes, right? Sir. That's a good goal.
Can't quantify that, but everybody knows what it is when they see it.
Yeah, dude. And I feel like that needs to be the goal, you know? Like that, you gotta just like at least try for your all, because you know what you could be.
Yeah, facts, 100%. And I think we all want to, but like we're all really, really, really scared to, because we're really scared to fail. And so, like, that fear of failure doesn't necessarily make you worse, but it makes you not want to practice, because it's like, what's the point of doing this thing if I can't get what I want? Like, you guys know who Shannon Sharpe is?
Yeah.
Yeah, football player.
You ever seen that video on Instagram where he's just like, he's like doing a workout. It's on his IGTV. He's doing like a workout. And he was like, you know, people ask me, Shannon, how do you know if it's a good workout? And he was like, if at the end of the workout, I don't say to myself, why am I even doing this? What's the point? Then it wasn't a good workout. Like when you're working so hard that it's like, damn, what's the point? You know, like that shit is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Not like, I'm afraid I won't make it, so I'm not gonna practice today. It's like, nah, I practiced today, so now I'm afraid because I practiced. Not the opposite, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's real. That's real as hell.
Do you have a lot of performing experience?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I do actually. I performed a lot. So how the Kavas were set up, because question for you guys, why is Kava like lounges the place where people perform at here? It's like it's always a different Kava.
Why is that?
It's never like
my theory is that the like bar gigs are a huge thing around town, like bar gigs and stuff, and for like the FGCU crowd and like younger crowd or people that don't drink or whatever, that's like kind of the same kind of vibe, you know, open mic at a bar, but the bar just has Kava.
Okay, cool,
you know what I mean?
Cool, because I've noticed that, like,
yeah, that's straight up. Yeah,
yeah, I've done a lot of Kava stuff, and that's it's a different crowd for sure. It's super hippies, which cool people, they like music, they have a great taste in music. I think if the hippies like your shit, you're onto something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that whole, like, they know the frequency of the earth shit.
Yeah, so if they start going like this, you're like, all right.
Yeah, if somebody's, like, doing a little, like, fire baton swirl to your shit, then you're
like... That's how XNBIX got so good. played there every Thursday and killed it every single time.
Yeah, no, sick. They're, like, chemistry is fucking insane. I performed a lot. There was a story, too, where Brendan and I went to Chicago, and it was like our first time ever going to Chicago, and we like we were supposed to do a show with a whole bunch of other acts, and for whatever reason his management, who's like my management now too as well, they pulled him out, and they were just like, we're gonna put our own show on, so there's only two acts. It's just like Brendan and Eddie, and it's just like in Chicago for the first time, this is not gonna go over well. We sold that shit out.
What?
Rocked that shit crazy. Yeah. Damn. Nuts.
What were the nerves like before that show?
I don't know, I was on Hennessy. I didn't feel anything.
What was the feeling like after the show?
Oh.
When you see that light up, bro, that's got to do something to you.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, when I sobered up, I was like, whoa, what the fuck? There's videos of it. It's nuts. Like, there's a part where I sent them a demo of a song I had called Yesterday. And somehow they, like, distributed that demo amongst their friends and through, like, word of mouth. By the time I performed it, people, like,
knew the words.
Wow. And I was like, what the fuck?
Bro, that's got to feel different.
It was nuts. It was crazy. I was like, this song's fire.
Yeah, once you wake up the next morning, you got to be just thinking, like, bro, I'm doing something right.
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the little wins are big wins when, like, you remember who you wanted to be as a kid. And you're just like, I might not be the biggest star, but I never saw myself doing that as a kid. I was like, yeah, I fucking made it. And there's a whole bunch of artists that just don't do shit like that. So I was like, every win is fucking cool, bro. That shit's nuts.
And to go out on that limb to go from like a guaranteed show to just like just you guys, that's like, oh, what's this? But then the huge payoff, bro.
Yeah, it's nuts. Nah, like my shows too, I always put myself in the mind of like the spectator, right? So I feel like I've seen a lot of shows where artists perform, and there's that thing where the artist is like this, and the crowd's like this. So the artist just keeps going hard like this, and the crowd's just like this. And then somebody pulls out their phone, and it's over. They're done. Because nobody gives a fuck anymore. They're on the text. Nobody cares about that performance.
Yep.
So I was like, not going to be me. Right? So I got scared about like shit like that, and I started starting this thing where every time I do like a show, I always have to like teach people lyrics to the songs, because I know that going into a show, people aren't going to know the lyrics to the songs. I'm local. That makes fucking sense. Right? So, you know, just do the hook once, teach people the hook. I do not stop until I know that I'm going to get artist or like crowd cooperation, and the show's been lit ever since, bro. You know what I'm saying? I haven't taken the L yet.
Sick. Have you... Do you have any highlight performances from around here? Like any places you performed that had that kind of standout moment?
There was a Save the Youth event. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. Hippie Circle put on the show. It was like me, Slight, 9600 was there. Oh, man. A couple other people. It was fucking dope. That was one of my favorites. I brought out the live auto-tune. Right. Yeah.
Damn. Like, no way.
Turn that shit out. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's sick.
Where was that at?
I think it was at like one of those like breweries, which is the other thing. It's breweries and coffee.
Yep. Yeah. Millennial.
Yeah. Not around. I think it was Millennial. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was Millennial. Yeah, that was a good one.
That sounds like a dope show. Did you go to the Casey Parks release there?
I did not. And I was mad because I worked on like that whole fucking project, and I had a session that day, so I couldn't.
Dang.
You guys were there. How was it?
It was
good.
Amazing. The video seemed lit, yeah.
Bro, I was at one point, because that was right after my knee injury, right after my surgery. So I was on one leg in crutches, had my art set up and everything. And I was just going to stay in my chair. I'm like, well, I'm next to the stage. I can still see and whatever. But then whenever, I don't even remember who was up whenever I was like, nah, I got to stand up. So I get up. And then I remember during the back house performance and everything, I was up there with my crutches. Oh, yeah. I was getting knocked around and Marla Vacci was like, oh shit. And he was like protecting, shielding me. It was sick. Danny jumped up on stage.
Yeah, that was sick.
Man. It was a great show. It was a great show.
Yeah, it was good, but I'm sure there'll be more, hopefully sometime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get it rolling on that. I do want to ask, who were some of the first couple people, if you can remember, that you started working with around here when you first got here?
Chris Daniels, HelloFresh. The first person that I knew that was from here was Nate.
Oh,
Did a song with Nate early on. And then from that, Nate introduced me to Cappy, Dom, and then from Dom, I met Brendan. So that was like pretty much who I met.
Mm-hmm. Like, how'd you meet Nate?
Crazy story. I'm at class at FGCU, and I got out of class, and I was like, there was a girl, I forget her name, it was like Brittany something. She's like popular around here too, whatever. And she's like, yo, what are you doing after class? And I wasn't making music, but I had to lie, because I gotta make a scene when I take my friend. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna go home and work on a song. And she's like, oh, no way, my friend makes music, his name's Nate Traveler. And I was like, okay, cool. So she puts me onto him, and I hear the sound, kind of like, oh, yeah. So I like send him some songs, and there was one song that like caught his attention, and he was like, yo, like, let's meet at a stereo rec. And we just like,
what?
Yeah, and it was crazy. And then we did a song. It was crazy.
Do you remember what the song was?
It was not a good song, so we didn't keep that song up. I don't remember it. Nah, couldn't tell you.
And it's been history ever since.
Been history ever since, yeah. Shout out Nate.
He's
a
dope dude. I remember seeing him run miles. I would be skating at the Astero Rec Center, and I saw him one time pull up, just like running miles around the lap. I'm like, fuck
dope.
Yeah, dude.
So dope.
Yeah, Nate's the realest. Do people ever shoot music videos at the facility? That's what mom was wondering. Because I've never been there. I don't know what it looks like in person, but I've seen the video, like the photos people post on Instagram or on their stories. It looks dope.
I mean, they do, but I usually don't stick around for stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Audio guy.
Little cameo in the back.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, no, they shot videos there.
True.
Yeah, I've seen it a couple times, but I just don't stick around.
Yeah, I feel that. Look, 25 minutes in.
Do you have any projects coming up that the people could look out for? Like, do you have any, like, albums or anything that you're working on?
I mean, when it comes to my own stuff, I never know what's coming like down the pipe. I kind of just work, and like if something really, 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 really inspires me, that'll come out. Other than that, I'm a poor planner with those kind of things.
That's probably good though, just to go with the creative flow, just however you feel it.
That's all I know. Yeah, I'm an overthinker. If I told myself I was gonna work on a project, I'd get two songs in, and then on the third song, I'd hate the first song. And I wouldn't ever get anything done because after a month, I'm just like, oh, I'm so much better than the first songs I started doing for this project.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, I'll keep things in a vault that I'll like hear back and go, oh, that's dope. We can like revisit that. But as far as like planning it out, I'm not good at that. I cannot do that.
You probably have hella stuff recorded, huh? A lot. Yeah, that's why I asked, because I feel like a full album from you would be something else for sure.
That's what they say.
Like the features on it, even, dude. Like, bro.
Yeah, for real.
I could only imagine what that would look like.
For real. Is that in the works?
I mean, so that's the goal for this year, is to put out a project. It might end up being like a couple singles. I did have an idea. I wish I could disclose it, but I can't. It was too fire and somebody's going to bite it. But it'd be a theme project for sure. So not just like my normal approach, which would be take all the best songs you have and just dump it. Mm-hmm. It would be something that kind of revolves around like two emotions that I have juxtaposed to each other. And I want to like really like lock in on those two things that like evoke a lot of emotion when I think of those. Just like essentially being like loneliness and then like overflowed with love, right? Like those like the two things that like I can feel like the strongest and make the best songs about. So that's all I can say on the project right now.
True. That'll be dope. I'll be looking out for that.
Yeah.
What else was I gonna say? Whenever you see a dope artist around here, like maybe it's up and coming, someone catches your eye, you're like, all right, are you more wanting to work with them as like do a song with them or engineer their work? How does that work?
Yeah, I wonder what goes through your mind.
It goes at both. Like I can't separate the two. I'm an artist engineer, so I just want to do something, right? And kind of by listening to their work, I can kind of gauge where I can help. So if I hear something and I'm like, damn, fire, I don't make music like that. I need to get in on this, though. You need to come to the studio now. We need to crank, right? But at the same time, I'm versatile enough where that just doesn't happen much. So most of the artists I do meet, I'm like, oh, yeah, we need that, you know, we need a link and do like a dope song together. So I think in my mind it goes engineer first with them and then like see if we're compatible enough to like do a song together. Because, mm-hmm. That's important. By engineering first, I get to learn a lot about you. Rather than just jumping in like head first, like I want to do a song and then realizing I don't want to work with you.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm sure you've gotten pretty versatile too at engineering as far as doing any genre. Like you said, you worked with that Latin artist for engineering. Yeah,
no, at the end of the day, music is music, right? And so like somebody hit me up to do like an Afrobeat like song. And they're just like, have you ever mixed Afrobeat before? And I was like, bro, the first time I mixed pop, that thing hit a million. Right? Like, try me. Like, don't do it. Like, you know? Like, nah. So yeah, I mean, I'm pretty versatile with anything. Mm-hmm. I haven't like really tried like rock, but I would love to. Like, I don't think there's anything I can't tackle.
That's dope, dude.
Yeah.
So you're passionate about it. You're passionate about engineering and just being involved with music.
Yeah, man.
That's dope, dude.
You sleep and breathe that thing.
Dude, working at the facility all the time must be so inspiring because you get to work with people like Promo and Cappy, and like that's got to inspire the hell out of you.
Nah, they're dope. Promo always like reminds me of the first time he met me, and I was like asking questions about how to like use some of the equipment, and he'll talk about it like I'm his kid. He'll just be like, yeah, you know, I remember when Eddie used to, you know,
I gave him the 101.
Yeah, and then same with Cap. Like I met Cap interviewing Cap. And I was always interested in like his knowledge, and you know, and I can learn from like anybody else who knows more than me. I'm like a sponge with that shit. So yeah, it's definitely inspiring for sure, because everybody who pulls up is, they're fire, man.
Mm-hmm.
How it comes down. It's a dream job, man. It's a dream job for real. It's pretty dope.
That's dope, dude. Yeah, I'm happy for you, bro. It sounds like you're living out here.
You know, I'm trying to be like, you know, a day at a time, man.
I heard that.
Yeah, bro, you're on a winning streak. Where can they find you at? Like, all over the internet? Where can people find your things at?
So, I keep the handles pretty uniform. It's usually EddieRock239 across the board. And that's Instagram, Twitter. I don't use Facebook. And then my SoundCloud's not updated at all. Everything else is the rest of the DSP. So, like, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal. And not too much YouTube these days. I got to get on that. I've been slacking on my YouTube game.
It's hard to keep up with all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. I do want to ask before we wrap this up, is there anybody that maybe it hasn't came out yet and you don't have to release who or whatever, but is there anybody that you've worked with or maybe wanting to work with, talks of it in the area that's like new? That like anybody new, like C Stunna or anybody?
Hey, Jay Drew.
I've not worked with C Stunna. Like, I like his stuff a lot though. He's one of those other people, like, where the hell does this kid record at?
Yeah, you know, for real.
So
artists I've been working with that are newer.
And like I said, you don't have to name drop if you don't want to. I just wanna
not that one on my me as much. There's this kid named Jen. Clean. Fire. There's another kid, Stowe, super sick. Trying to think of other newer artists. Sebastian Portillo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Flames.
He's sick.
Yeah, sick. Those are pretty much the main newer acts that I got. I've like had my eye on.
And
I'm
just
like, okay, I gotta see what's going on here.
Yep. Yeah, I've heard of Sebastian. I'll have to look into the other two.
Oh, the other two are sick. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I actually just finished wrapping up a session with Jen like 2 days ago. He's nuts, man. He's really good. Really good. Same with Stowe. I think they both have songs coming out in like 3 weeks.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, there's so much talent around here.
It's dope to have people like you, bro, and places like the facility to like really help facilitate things, get people cranking out quality music that literally could be on the radio, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like half of what we do is like teach people. So it's like you come in not knowing shit, and then it's like you got your session, but you learn shit that you can take to any other studio. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of what makes the facility kind of beautiful that way.
Oh yeah, have you been to any of Nate's mental health meetups?
I have not, man.
I haven't been either.
Every time he puts up like something for it, like the meetup time or whatever, like I'm just never on social media that day.
Yeah,
like, I'll delete Instagram for like a whole day, and I'll come back and be like, "What the fuck? Everybody was over there."
Yeah, or I'll work till like an hour after the thing's over, and I'm like, "Damn, dude!"
And I just see like a picture, like everybody looks so happy.
Yeah, and it's dope too. Is that where you heard of Sebastian Portillo through that link up?
No, Colliding with Mars.
That's who you. Yeah, because like it's just like it's cool just to like I'm sure artists just all just sharing that moment, just sitting out in nature, just fucking talking about things. It's got to be so healthy.
Are there any artists you guys think I should know about? Because you guys
know. Jay DeRue is someone who's
I'm familiar with him. Yeah.
Dude's ill. Who else knew, bro?
You know,
TV's a man.
Yeah, One Way's one of the people I've been trying to link with on my song too.
Oh,
that would be awesome. Yeah. For sure.
This guy, that would be awesome. He's fucking spazzing out.
Yeah, bro, I'm excited.
That would be sick.
Our roommate, Biscuit, actually. I've been really impressed with him. He's got a little studio set up in his room. He produces beats and he makes his own music too, but he's just been really experimenting and learning with producing beats and everything, and I feel like he's gonna be doing some cool stuff.
New artist, I Am June.
I know him. Yep. Yeah.
Fire, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Fire.
Yeah, he's really fired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were gonna have him on here, weren't we?
A long time ago. Yeah, right when we started. Cause I asked Casey Parks at a Kava event. We were talking, and he heard about us doing the podcast, and he was just listing like, "Yo, you should have him on."
Oh, you guys might be thinking of the other. You guys might be thinking of the other June. There's two Junes.
Two Junes.
Yeah. What? White June and Black June. Casey's talking about White June more than likely.
Yeah, his Instagram's I Am June, or no, no.
Oh, yeah, June.
Oh, yeah, June.
Yeah, I think that's what Casey knows. I don't think Casey knows I Am June.
Oh, well, what's the June you're talking about?
I Am June. Both Junes fired.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check out other June.
No, White June is also super sick. But yeah, Black June also crazy fire.
Hell yeah.
And that's I Am June?
Yeah, it's I Am June.
Socials?
Okay.
Sure, I'll check him out.
Yeah. That's funny.
That is funny. Two Junes, dude, in the same area. Both killing it.
Yeah.
Thought.
All right, where can they find us at, bro?
You can find us at City of Palms Podcast. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, watch us on YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube.
We appreciate you listening. We're on TikTok now.
We're on TikTok.
TikTok.
Subscribe to our TikTok. That's it. Episode 85. Thank you, Eddie Rock, coming on.
Hit him with the outro, Soren.